for security? There's a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today.
All right, here we go, everybody. Right out the gate, and there's already an issue with the bingo card. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the party. My name is... Hold on, let me start over, because the bingo... I knew the bingo card was going to be a mess. That's why I called it an alpha, not a beta, because we're straight up trying to figure this out. Good morning, everybody. Today is March 15th, 2024. Welcome to episode number 579, the bingo pilot of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher, and over the next 45 minutes... Me, you, John De La Cruz, Alfredo, Arturo, Kerry, Brent B, Cyber Butterfly, Marcus Kyler in the Yeet Crew, Casually Joseph in the Mod Chair, DJ BSEC, Jesse Johnson rocking out in Colorado, folks over on LinkedIn like Logan Fuller, and folks over on YouTube like all you beautiful squad members coming in hot, Eric Jordan on LinkedIn. Guess what? All of us, I don't care if you got a bingo card or not, whether you do, whether you're not, whether you're on your phone, whether you're on your computer, we are all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day. And I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner. So how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction for your stakeholders? Try this link. Or if you're looking to break into the industry, you're going to want to know what is going on day in and day out, not just so you can, you know, basically be enabled to respond accordingly for your business stakeholders, but also there are seasons to cybersecurity, and there are ebbs and flows of the industry. And by seeing it day in and day out, you'll begin to recognize those kind of meta elements and macro level shifts. So it's all about good times. Plus, guys, this show, you know, I'm totally biased, so double check with somebody else besides me. But this show's freaking awesome, and we do fun stuff in addition to work. Work and play do not have to be mutually exclusive. You can enjoy what you do, and that's what we do every single morning here in the Daily Cyber Threat Brief. So settle in. We got a great show for you. For those who are not, let me go ahead and unpin this chat. And I'm going to say this, bingo card, we are doing the bingo, bingo card, grab one here. Here's the deal, guys. Today is pilot bingo. Let me get through the intro, and then we'll take a minute and see what's up. Probably need to delegate management of the bingo. Okay, so guys, before we get into it, I say want to shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors, those who enable me to bring cyber threat briefings to you as well as bingo. Starting with my good friend Eric Taylor and the crew at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated to... What is Barricade Cyber Solutions dedicated to, you might ask yourself? Well, let me tell you. Helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from the damage done. Cyber attacks can cause massive issues for businesses and send dedicated, hardworking business owners into turmoil. But guess what, guys? Barricade Cyber Solutions, if they know one thing... It is how to mitigate the damage done by cyber incidents and yeet threat actors out your environment with certainty. Give them a call. Get them in your speed dial. Put it next to the fire extinguisher in the break room. Check them out at barricadecyber.com. Links in the description below. I also want to say shout out and love to Panopsite Security. Panopsite, get a partner who understands your cybersecurity program and your business goals. That's right, people. You need to align your InfoSec program to the business, or else you're going to get no support. NIST CSF 2.0 introduced the govern function. Do you know why? Because the business, despite them not funding us, and despite Carl in accounting standing up WordPress sites with JetBrains on it, we are here to serve the business. So in order to be able to do that effectively, you might need some help. Panopsi Security, they can help you. Long-term strategy, short-term tactical things like tabletop exercises, which are critical to have the business involved and fully committed to understanding what their role is in dealing with incident response. No matter what it is, straight up, Panopsi Security can help you with it 100%. Connect with Brandon Poole on LinkedIn, P-O-O-L-E, Brandon Poole on LinkedIn, and Panopsi Security at panopsi.com. You'll love it. Also, anti-siphon training, but more about these beautiful babies and their B-Sides Fort Wayne, Indiana action coming up at the mid-roll. I want to let all of you know, I don't prep or research for any of these stories. It appears that I don't prep or research for deploying bingo either. So guess what? I'm just a raw exposed wire up here. So we'll see what we get, and it'll all be good. I want to let you know each episode of the Daily Cyber Threat Brief is worth half a CPE. So be sure to say what's up in chat. Say what's up in chat and grab a screenshot. File it away on your desktop in a folder called CPEs 2024. And at the end of the year, when you need to do CPEs, just straight up count the number of files, divide it by two, and that's how many CPEs you have. It's literally the easiest way to get CPEs that I have ever heard of. It just happens to be something that you know, I was involved in creating. But trust me, dude, I have an entire video on the channel. Of course, I have a video for that on how to get CPEs in a way that doesn't suck. And that was before Daily Cyber Threat Briefing even existed. I probably should take that video down and just have it linked directly to the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, because that's how awesome it is getting CPEs with this thing. I want to know if today is your first episode of the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief. First of all, congratulations. You picked a banger of an episode, because we are going to be doing bingo. Oh my God. I am also trying to do production stuff right now with the podcast. As expected, this bingo thing threw me off. If you are here for the first time, drop a hashtag first timer in chat. Let us know it's your first time. We have a special sound effect, spoiler alert.
Welcome to the party, pal.
And we have a special emote for our friends, okay? So where's my emote? Where's my emote? There's the emote. Any first timers, hashtag first timer in chat. We want to welcome you. Also, reminder, everybody, in the pinned comments, come over to YouTube. On the pinned comments is the Simply Cyber bingo card, okay? You'll get this pop-up. You see it on screen. Hey, for Team Replay, folks, I'm sorry. This is a live-action game. Hit the Generate Card button. You'll get directions here. Just click OK. Basically, as I say things, right, in everybody's got a different bingo card, and as I say things through here, whether it's, episode number 579. So episode number is even. That is not the case for this episode. So I would not get that bingo square. But I will say, just as an example, why don't we throw our mods a little love? Mods helping with the bingo card and with just the stream in general. So little love to the mods. Oop, mod love. Bing. So I go ahead and select that square in the bingo. If you get a bingo either across, down, or diagonal, you win. We don't have a prize or anything yet. We're just trying to flesh out how this will all work. So listen to the show. Listen for different things. There's a lot of old favorites in here.
Great cash, homie.
So giddy up on that. Change the link to the following. Okay. What is that? Is this the different link now? What are we doing here? Hold on. All right, hold on. Bingo card. Official, I guess. Mods, I really should have delegated this to somebody or asked somebody to help me instead of trying to do this while I'm live on stream. Replace pin message. There we go. I guess there's a new bingo card. I don't know. We'll work through it. But if you were about to get bingo like Casually Joseph was, it sounds like maybe we have a new bingo card that you have to issue. I'm not sure. We're getting it sorted out. ZMF, I'm sorry. Just you get the prize of being part of the pilot and helping get this thing off the ground. Once we get up and running, I assure you, we will have prizes. They will be fun. And it's all about good times. Oh, okay. So the link I just dropped in pin chat will allow you to drop your name on the card so we can actually attribute winners. Thanks you, Emmanuel Dark. Hey, Hanush SR, welcome to the party, pal. We got a first timer in shout, everybody. Say hello to Hanush. It's D-H-A-N-U-S-H SR.
Welcome to the party, pal.
All right. So we got our bingo card here. I guess this is my bingo card. I'm going to say Jerry guy. And we can play along. I think that we need an admin. There's an admin portal. So you can monitor all the cards and see who's winning. But here we go. Yep.
Toasty.
And I can cheat because I control the soundboard. I've got the toasty top left corner. All right, guys, in all seriousness, so enjoy the bingo. Hopefully everybody enjoys it. We'll figure it out and get it sorted out as we move forward. But unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, we do have work to do. So do me a favor, sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over us all in an awesome wave. I will see you at the mid-roll.
From the CISO series, it's Cybersecurity Headlines.
These are the Cybersecurity Headlines for Friday, March 15th, 2024. I'm Steve Prentice. Change Healthcare. AHA asks for aid and HHS questions HIPAA compliance. Further fallout from the Change Healthcare cyber attack came in three forms this week. First, a survey conducted by the American Hospital Association revealed that 74% of the 1,000 responding hospitals reported, quote, direct patient care impact from the attack, with 94% stating that the attack was impacting them financially, and with half of that 94% describing the damage as significant or serious. These findings and more were then presented to the leadership of the Senate Finance Committee. This led to a request that, quote, Congress should consider any statutory limitations that exist for an adequate response from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services and the Department of Health and Human Services to help hospitals and other providers minimize further fallout, end quote. This, they said, was in comparison to COVID-19, which, as a public health emergency and a national emergency, did not have statutory limitations. The letter was sent ahead of a Senate Finance Committee hearing on the HHS fiscal year 2025 budget proposal, which was held yesterday, Thursday. In addition,
oh my God, it's like a long story.
To this, the Department of Health and Human Services Office for Civil Rights seeks to investigate whether a breach of protected health information occurred through Change Healthcare or through United Health, and whether this violated compliance with HIPAA regulations.
All right.
Fortinet warns.
Okay, so here's the deal. There's a lot going on here, and I don't want to get too much into politics, but it really is a conflicting discussion to have here. Okay, so here's the deal. Recall that just recently, Change Healthcare, which is like this conglomerate, faceless, super business, had something underneath it called Optum. And they got hit with ransomware, and it had a cascading effect on many, many healthcare providers in the United States. One of the notable impacts was the inability to issue prescription drugs to people who needed it. Obviously, there, I guarantee you there's some example out there of somebody who needed life-saving medicine and was unable to get it. Now, whether or not that person died, I don't know. But like, I know with like COVID-19, like people who have lupus or require some type of medicine, and it was like believed that it was like a COVID vaccine or something, or COVID, you could treat COVID or something. I don't know. But anyways, people who needed life-saving drugs were not getting them. Very similar to this, right? You have diabetes, you can't get your insulin. So basically, this letter to Congress for congressional, you know, intervention and budget is saying, hey, the healthcare systems are so big and so integrated that they're really, really public health concerns and critical infrastructure. And if there is a massive cyber attack, there could be real impacts. Now, here's the thing. That's the deal. And they're asking for more money on top to be able to, you know, recover from a cyber attack. On top of this, to keep it in the cyber realm, they're saying like the Department of Health and Human Services Office of Civil Rights, which is the arm of HHS that basically goes after people, healthcare businesses and practitioners who suffer a HIPAA data breach or a PHI, Protected Health Information Data Breach, and either, you know, penalizes them financially or gives them a stern finger wagging when they release patient information. And this has been going on since like HIPAA came out in 96. But the thing is, I will tell you a couple things. One, they're saying, hey, we want to limit the amount that the financial impacts can be, and maybe tell OCR to give these healthcare organizations a pass effectively for data breach. Couple things. One, I just want to point out that in my experience, okay, and I did work in healthcare for a number of years, so I do feel this is informed. HHS, OCR, yes, they have the wall of shame, and you get thrown up there. And yes, there have been numerous cases where there have been significant financial penalties dropped on businesses. Having said that, most often HHS OCR is not levying financial penalties. If it's like your first offense, even if it's egregious, they usually like write you up, like you get a warning, right? You're still on the wall of shame, which no one even looks at anymore. But only if you are like negligent and they find you, have all these problems and you do nothing to fix them, and then you get hit again, that's when the financial penalties start rolling out. And even then, they're not even that serious until like another breach happens. So as far as like minimizing financial impacts, like, bro, like just do the minimum, okay? Which is, I don't even want you to do the minimum. I would like you to do like actually good information security, but like do the minimum and you're not going to get hit with a fine. Now, as far as like having money and funds to deploy to private sector businesses for recovery and efforts, and then comparing it to a public health crisis like the pandemic, to me is a little not cool. Okay. And again, I do not like to. Yeah, Change Healthcare is so hot right now.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
I don't want to get into politics. And of course, there is philosophical underpinnings on, you know, the state and what you think about that. But here's my thing. People were getting all frothed up about this when the government was bailing out the banks in 2008. If this is the case, like, think about capitalism and perverse incentives, right? So if they pass this congressional thing where there's like this bundle of money to help bail you out if you get caught, like breached or impacted or whatever, like, Why are you like super motivated to like go above and beyond to protect your business, right? There's a net underneath the trapeze, right? There's a backstop behind the catcher. Yeah, it's going to be painful to go through an incident, but don't worry. There's a huge golden parachute sitting over there. So if the plane catches fire, you just throw it on and hop out. Like, that's what executives are going to see and hear. So when you're trying to do a tabletop exercise and you're like, all right, hotshot, ransomware note comes in, they're dropping files on Telegram, what do you do? And they're like, we call HHS and exercise that big bundle of money. Next question. And you're like, no, you've missed the point. And they're like, I think we're done here. And you're like, oh. So having said all that, you know, I don't know what the right answer is. It's really, really difficult. Again, the philosophical underpinnings is like, oh, okay, so like we're going to let a healthcare business fail and then people are impacted and hurt because of that. You know what I mean? Like, there's a case to be made on both sides of it. What I would say also is that this is another, you know, I guess like just at a macro level, think about it for a second. Like, careful, I don't want to say careful what you wish for, but like the U.S. healthcare systems are consolidating like the metal guy in Terminator 2, right? Like the liquid metal guy in the foundry. I use this example all the time. You know, it appears we're on a trajectory that in, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, there's going to be like 3 healthcare providers in the United States, like healthcare systems, right? There'll be all sorts of different businesses and stuff. But at the end of the day, they're all going to roll up to like, you know, 3, you know, like the phone companies, AT&T, Verizon, Like, there's only a couple, right? So here's the thing. When you couple yourself with this highly integrated, highly dependent ecosystem of, you know, a couple businesses, when one gets hit, there is a massive impact because it is a wide-reaching system. Okay, so that's what's up. Hopefully, you know, that you pull some value out of this. Again, if you work in healthcare, this could be germane to you. Like, this could turn into some type of like FEMA emergency funding that you can get access to, but you should not be banking your InfoSec strategy on a parachute.
Severe SQLi vulnerability in 40 clients' EMS software. This vulnerability, tracked as CVE-2023-48788 with a CVSS rating of 9.3, is described as an SQL injection vulnerability in 40-client EMS endpoint management server that may allow an unauthenticated attacker to execute unauthorized codes or commands. Further details can be found in the Fortinet advisory linked in the show notes to this episode.
All right, hold on 1 second. Alana Boyajian coming in hot with the Chiron comment. Give me 1 second. I'll do it right now. I have a Python script I run that does the Python, Chiron. And I was so, like, I was so twisted around the bingo thing this morning because it's new that I just forgot the Chiron. Thanks, Alana. All right, so Fortinet warns of SQL injection vuln in client EMS software. Alana Boyajian with not just the assist on getting the Chiron correct, but straight up dropping memberships up in here.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Alana Boyajian, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And to our 10 new squad members, compliments of Alana, I'd like to say welcome to the party, pal. Dark Knight 1989, Justin Woods, Mario, De Niro. Love it, love it, love it. Look at the Oprah emotes. All right, so Fortinet warns of server severe SQL injection. Here's the deal. I don't know what Fortinet client EMS software is. I assume it has to be something that's like an internet-facing web application. SQL injection is almost always related to some type of web application, that has a form field. I think maybe you can do SQL injection through the URL if you can, if it's passing arguments through, you know, like a through the arguments in a URL. Anyways, here's the deal. It's pretty straightforward. If you're running Fortinet, first of all, you should know that, and you should take a look at this. By the way, if you're running Fortinet, you should also be quite familiar with fixing it because Fortinet has had a bunch of problems here and there. A lot. I know Eric Taylor for one.
Catch me outside. How about that?
Eric Taylor for one wants to take Fortinet outside and slap him around a little bit. Critical bugs. SQL injection means that not trivial to execute, but typically you can execute it unauthenticated because it's going through a web form that's supposed to be accessible. I'm trying to get some more information here on this particular one. It says there's no evidence that the flaw has been under active exploitation, which means you have time to get this underway. And let's see. Okay. And like, for some reason, the vendor released an update about two other vulnerabilities last year that have yet to be patched. So here's the deal. If you're running Fortinet, just update the 40OS, which is the operating system that runs the Fortinet client, and basically get it straightened out. That's it. The one thing I will point out is I don't know if this 40 client EMS thing is like a VPN application that gets installed on endpoints, or if this is more like accessing for administrator access. TLDR, if you're running Fortinet, get this fixed sooner than later. Okay, that's the takeaway here.
Yacht company Marine Max announces cyber attack. The manufacturer of boats, yachts, and super yachts filed documents with the Securities and Exchange Commission this week following an attack that it says began on Sunday. It is being described as a, quote, cybersecurity incident as defined in applicable SEC rules, whereby a third party gained unauthorized access to portions of its information environment, end quote. The company said that the event has not had a material impact on operations, but it also has not yet stated whether ransomware was involved.
All right. Billion-dollar boats. All right, guys, you know, I don't own a boat, right? I wish I had a friend that owned a boat. And yeah, I'm on a boat. So billion-dollar boats. I'm sorry. I was not paying attention when the story came through. I find it hilarious that Bingo has incentivized people. Like, people are like, Jerry, say this or play this sound effect, or it's really, really funny. So basically, you know, cyber attack. This just goes to show you that, like, literally, you know, you're not too small a company to be attacked. You're not, you know, in the demographic of like critical infrastructure, so you're not going to be affected. Like, you are a business and you make money, and threat actors want your money.
Great cash, homie.
And that's what's up. So they're going to go after it. I don't understand what type of attack this was. It always cracks me up how they just like throw these things in here. Like, this has nothing to do with the story, except, you know, whatever. All right. I mean, this is like a... All right. So the only reason that they mention it, I guess, is because the SEC requires them to notify about this now, and a third party gained unauthorized access. So first of all, way to go, billion-dollar boat seller Marine Max, for following the SEC rules. If I was making $1 billion off boats, I would comply with every rule that I needed to. Billy or Lana with the super chat, thank you so much.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Love it, Billy. Looking good. Looking good. Okay. Guys, here's the two things you can take away from this as a practitioner. One, if you are a publicly traded company in any way, you absolutely need to know what the SEC disclosure guidelines are, or you're going to get in trouble. And really, you do not want to get in trouble with the SEC if you're a publicly traded company. That goes way beyond InfoSec, and that's straight up the business. You do not want to mess with that. Secondly, use this as an opportunity. Like, if you're getting blowback from your executive team because you're too small to be targeted or whatever, this could be a good one where you're like, you know, like, are we too small? Because a boat company got hit, and, you know, it's going to cost them $16 million or something like that. There's some numbers in the story that you can pull from. So everybody knows what a boat is. Executives, depending on where you live, might own a boat, right? And they can kind of it can kind of vibe with that. So let's keep going to the mid-roll.
And now a word from our sponsor, Vanta. From dozens of spreadsheets and screenshots to fragmented tools and manuals.
Oh, Eric McClellan. Looks like Friday's bingo day / gift given day. Eric McClellan, thanks so much for the gifted subs.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. For our 5 new gifted sub members. Very nice. Very nice. Let's keep going. I see James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet.
Security reviews. Managing the...
Hold on. James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet with a super chat.
Best friends.
Yep. Cyber criminals go where the money is. VPN and orgs working with billionaires. Why do bank robbers rob banks? That's where the money is. Gotta love the SEC's new 8K rules. Yes, we do.
Requirements for modern compliance and security programs is increasingly challenging. Vanta is the leading trust management platform that helps you centralize your efforts to establish trust and enable growth across your organization. Over 6,000 companies partner with Vanta to automate compliance, strengthen security posture, streamline security reviews, and reduce third-party risk. To learn more, go to vanta.com/CISO and watch their 3-minute product demo. That is vanta.com/CISO.
All right, it is the mid-roll. Hopefully everybody's enjoying the bingo. I haven't seen anyone scream bingo in chat yet, but keep going, everybody. All right. Stay tuned for the mid jawjacking segment at the end. We're going to have some fun. Guys, thank you so very much to all of you who are here right now. If you're enjoying the show, if you're enjoying the gifted subs, thanks, James McQuiggan, for 10 gifted subs.
We just become best friends. Yep.
Enjoy the gifted subs. James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Looks like he might be on the tarmac. James McQuiggan gets the bingo. We need a bingo sound effect. What are we going to do here? All right. I think James McQuiggan has bingo. Can we get a confirmation, James? Are you claiming that you have a bingo? All right. We'll have to figure. I got to figure out. There's definitely a way for me to like. There's definitely a way for me to see. All the bingo cards. Let me see if I can find it. James. Oh, James's name is on the bingo card, so I can't search for James. Jeez. All right, we believe you. We'll sort this out. Or James, can you put like your number, whatever your like hashtag number is? James McQuiggan with the super chat, $20 super chat. Thanks, James. Bingo, pulling a DEFCON and Wild West Hackenfest lifestyle as I'm up very early to catch the show and see all of your smiling faces, and happy belated Pi Day. Shout out to Marcus Kyler for promoting my podcast, Cybersecurity Masterminds. Yeet. Marcus Kyler of the Yeet Crew, and definitely appreciate it. Yeah, James McQuiggan's on the bingo card. At Jawjacking, I'll talk more about the bingo card if you guys want to know. Hey, thanks to the stream sponsors, all of you who are gifting subs and super chats, thank you. Thank you to Barricade Cyber and Panopsi. And thank you to Anti-Siphon Training, guys. Let me tell you really quickly, Anti-Siphon Training is disrupting the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of financial position. They offer their students the opportunity to practice what is taught, learn from industry pros, and engage in a fun, interactive educational experience. I want to call your attention to this. March 18th, so just a few days from now, John Strand will be teaching Getting Started in Cyber with Black Hills and MITRE ATT&CK. This is a no-nonsense, straight to the heart of what matters course. 4 days, 4 hours a day. Even if you can't attend all of it, I would strongly encourage you check it out. You can take it for $0. That's right, $0, and learn from an industry expert. I love John Strand. I'm wearing a John Strand shirt right now. This guy inspires me. I know he'll inspire you. Go check it out if you've got the time. It's totally worth it. All right. Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Every single day we pick a new baton holder. I don't know who has the baton today, which is sad because there's so much going on. I'm in a hot mess right now. But whoever has the baton, please tag somebody. Everybody else, I would love for you to listen up. If you want to blow up your professional network in a meaningful way, it's very easy. Go on to LinkedIn, use the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge. Just search for it and connect with the people in the chat. Oh my God. Connect to the people who are posting with this hashtag and comment on their posts. Connect with the people in comments. If you have the baton, please tag somebody right now. It's a white. Thank you, Jenny. It's a white. Please tag somebody. It's a white. Please tag somebody with the baton, and we'll keep the baton going. Literally, guys, 5 minutes a day. Blow up your professional network on LinkedIn. Every single day of the week has a special segment. Fridays is Bingo Friday, and James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet. Grayson's Joke of the Week presented by James McQuiggan, and we got some good ones today. It was Pi Day yesterday, so let's go ahead and get into that. What's wrong with the equation Pi R squared? Pies are round and cakes are square. Oh. All right, James wants us to know why we shouldn't eat too much pie. Why should we not eat too much pie? I think it's fairly obvious, James, right? I got to keep an eye on my waistline. Well, you'll end up with a big circumference. You'll end up with a big circumference. So we got some math jokes in here. What's a programmer mathematician's favorite programming language? What is a programmer mathematician's favorite programming language, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet? Well, obviously, Jerry, it's Python. Python. And finally, guys, why are parallel lines so sad? Perpendicular lines, they have all the rage, all the love. Why do parallel lines, why are they so sad? Because they have so much in common, and it's too bad because they'll never meet. James McQuiggan, everybody, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, James McQuiggan, at 35,000 feet. I don't know. James, did you not win the bingo? You can't scream bingo if you didn't win bingo. That is a fact. That's a commandment. All right, we'll keep going. I think James McQuiggan did not have bingo. So for all those who ripped up their bingo card and threw it on the ground, adjusted their Kentucky Derby fedora and went back to get a mint julep, go get your bingo card back and let's keep raging. And we'll do it.
Eight malware exploited recently patched Microsoft flaw as a zero day. According to researchers at Trend Micro, victims were lured via PDFs that contained Google DoubleClick Digital Marketing Open Redirects. These pointed victims to compromised sites hosting the Microsoft Windows Smart Screen Bypass, which has a CVE number of 2024-21412, and that led to malicious Microsoft installers. The 21412 flaw had been fixed as part of Microsoft's February patch Tuesday, but not before it was weaponized by a group called Water Hydra to deliver the Dark Me malware in attacks targeting financial institutions. Trend Micro notes that this is not the first event in the Dark campaign and that the, quote, abuse of Google Ads technologies allows threat actors to increase the reach and scale of their attacks through different ad campaigns that are tailored for specific audiences, end quote.
All right. Okay, so a couple things here. One, shout out to Alana Boyajian, like quasi-admin today, calling out the Chiron missing, calling out James McQuiggan for him trying to usurp the bingo workflows and processes. Ladies and gentlemen, Alana Boyajian and gifted subs. All right, guys. So here's the deal. A darknet malware, dark gate malware exploited. Okay, so here's the deal. First of all, infographic. Oh my God, so hot.
That Hansel's so hot right now.
Okay, so this is, you know, a standard cyber attack campaign. Comes in as an email. It's got a PDF attached to it, trying to convince the victim to click on it. Hey, here's a quote. Here's a CFP for Wild West Hack and Fest. Click on this and review it. Like, whatever. PDF comes in. It's got functionality in it using, I guess it's called Google DoubleClick Digital Marketing to redirect, whatever that is. But long story short, there's functionality in the PDF to redirect a victim to a website to download something. At this point, the victim is tricked into downloading a attachment or a binary, right? It looks like it's a according to this infographic, it's hard to read this thing, but it looks like it's a PowerShell or it's an MSI. So victim downloads an MSI, which brings down a cab file. At this point, you absolutely should be like, what the hell? Sorry, Kennedy. At this point, you should be like, wait, this doesn't seem right, right? And at that point, then it installs a fake iTunes helper.exe executable, and you're basically owned at this point, and it's going to start pulling down additional payloads and such. So from a defensive perspective, it is a zero-day attack, which means that there's no patch. You could, like, as much as I want you to patch it,
you gotta patch it.
There's no patch for this one yet. So what you need to do is practice due diligence. There's a lot of things here. One, email security gateway. You want to make sure that if you can, you have a smart one that will either inspect attachments, prevent attachments, detonate attachments, etc. You want to educate your end users that they should, you know, be careful with attachments. I know salespeople love to click on all the things. It is difficult. You want to make sure. So that's end user awareness training that hopefully catches it before it detonates. You want to make sure that you have your endpoint detection and response solutions going. So if when they pull down this payload, your EDR catches it and says, whoa, hold up. Wait a minute. There's an issue here. And then you know, if you can at this point, you get popped, then maybe you want to have SIM rules or alerts or Yara rules to be able to identify this malicious behavior. I didn't go through this whole thing, but there's clearly going to be some type of C2 infrastructure reach out to go out and pull down additional payloads. So you'll want to obviously look for that, known IOCs and stuff like that. This is an active campaign since mid-January, so the IOCs are definitely out there. You want to keep an eye on the Microsoft flaw that's being exploited. Like they said, it's a zero-day attack, which basically means there's no patch for it yet. So here's the thing, because it's actively being exploited, this should elevate your risk profile as to, holy crap, I got to make sure that as soon as the patch comes out for this one, I prioritize getting it patched. This is not a, let's wait until, you know, Monday and roll it out, yawn, like active exploitation. End users can get emails. You can't really stop threat actors from sending them, which is why phishing is such a prolific attack vector. So that's it, right? And by the way, Darkgate malware, okay. But it could be, you know, Flim Flam malware and Diphthong malware. It doesn't matter. The technique is what, the TTP here is what matters. The actual malware payload doesn't necessarily matter. Of course, if you get popped by this, you want to know what Darkgate's doing so you can refine it. James McQuiggan with a super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. My apologies for the confusion on the bingo. This is what I get for missing meetings. Hashtag learn from mistakes. Gifted subs coming. Thank you very much, James McQuiggan.
Did we just become
and
best
more
friends?
Gifted
yep.
subs coming in. Okay, and BSEC is chiming in right now that it looks like there is a patch available. Again, frustrating that the title of the story says zero-day attack then. The final thing I would say, and I forgot that I forgot, like, this is something I forget about, but like, it's a reality. Okay. Educate your end users, especially your IT super users who don't need to be told what to do. Do not check your email on servers. Yes, there is an Internet Explorer or Internet Edge or whatever they're calling it now. Microsoft Edge. There is a web browser on the server. Yes, it is inconvenient to log out and log into a workstation or whatever to go check your email. But if you fall for this and you pop it on a server, threat actors own the server. So in conclusion, you don't see it happen that often, but I don't want to say IT people are lazy, but they can be. And don't check your email on servers, period, full stop, okay? Daniel Lowry's in the house, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Lowry. I saw someone scream Yahtzee. Do we count that as a bingo? Rex coming in with the super chat. Thanks, Rex.
Just become best friends. Yep.
What do you tell a hacker after a bad breakup? There are plenty of fish in the sea. Why'd the programmer leave the camping trip early? Too many bugs. I feel you.
Windows patch Tuesday update failing to install. A cumulative update labeled KB5035849 is being reported by some users as failing to install. According to a Bleeping Computer, quote, affected systems include those running Windows Server 2019 or Windows 10 Enterprise LTSC 2019, which have reached their mainstream end of support date on January 9th and are under extended support for 5 more years until January 2029. Microsoft states it is not aware of any issues with this update, but it can be installed manually after first installing the August 2021 Servicing Stack update. Nissan.
All right. Windows KB article or a KB article slash patch failing to install with errors. Okay. So, and shout out to Eric. Shout out to Eric Silberman pointing out how NIST has a control that literally says don't check your email on servers. If you're updating your Patch Tuesday patches on Windows, because we talked about it, you got to patch it.
You got to patch it.
Looks like in some small instance on Windows 10 and some Windows Server systems, you're getting this hellacious, quintuple 034 error, according to a wave of reports from admins and users. BSEC, let me know if this is still an issue or if Microsoft's already resolved this. Here's the deal. Windows Server 2019, Windows Server 10. Chances are, here's what the fail looks like. You just can't you just can't patch it, right? You just can't patch it. So here's the deal. With things like this, all I would say is whenever you get a situation where the Windows patches are not working, two things to do. One, patch where you can, right? This is why we do like concentric circle patching, patch management, right? You don't just push the patch to everyone and go get tacos. Like you do it in a coordinated effect. This will install in some places. So if you can still get 75% of your infrastructure updated with the patch, then do it. Obviously, like, don't let perfection get in the way of progress, even with patch management. Microsoft regularly, whenever this issue happens, Microsoft will work to get this resolved and push out an updated version of the patch that will apply to these individuals. In the interim, if your, you know, Windows Server 2019 that is unable to take this patch happens to be like internet facing or it's a mission critical application, typically Microsoft will provide workarounds to help prevent exploitation of that vulnerability. Also, you'd want to check of like whatever vulnerability this patch is addressing, whether or not it's being actively exploited, because that'll change your risk calculation on how priority it is for you to like get on top of this or even pull it down, right? For example, if this dark gateway malware thing or dark gate malware was actively exploiting a flaw that this patch fixed, well, then maybe you need to elevate your priority. But if this is just some random kind of like out of bounds error that happens in like, you know, whatever like minimal situation, like the perfect scenario has to be in place for this to exploit. And even then, you get like local priv access and the machine is not internet facing, the chances are of exploitation are like super low, to the point where like I put on my GRC nerd hat, push my glasses up my nose and say, well, we'll just wait until the patch comes and there will be no workarounds, because there's no, you only have so much resources to spend addressing InfoSec in an environment, and spending time on something that's not necessarily a priority is a waste of time. Also, that's a reality. For those who are new to the industry, let me just welcome you to the reality that is the Hot Mess Express of information security. We have limited resources, so you can't solve all the problems. You can't fix all the problems. You can't put out all the fires. You just have to find the hottest, biggest fire and work on that one. And like while that one's being addressed, you can put out some fires over here, but you will definitely have trash can fires behind you that you know about, that you just won't be able to do anything with. And that's okay. This is the chaos that we live in. Welcome to chaos magic, where InfoSec pros live.
And it now confirms data breach from December attack. Following up on a story we covered last December, Nissan Oceania, which covers its services in Australia and New Zealand, has now confirmed that information belonging to 100,000 people was stolen and released by the Akira ransomware gang. The data, which varies by person, does include PII, and in some cases, tax file numbers, driver's licenses, and passport numbers belonging to some current and former employees, as well as customers of Nissan, Mitsubishi, Renault, Skyline, Infiniti, LDV cargo van, and Ram dealerships in the region. ChatGPT plugin
All right. So Nissan got breached a little while ago. We talked about this. They're basically a manufacturing company, right? They make hot cars. I personally have a penchant for the Datsun Z series, the 240, the 280. The 260 can take a hike. That was a mistake. But the 280, looking good. You get the louvers on the back. You got those cupped headlights. Oh, yeah, that's good. So Nissan basically got hit. Akira came out. Akira's definitely come on the scene as a top-tier threat actor. I would put them as a tier two, pushing to be promoted into the tier one realm of ransomware threat actors. Obviously, with Black Cat Alfie doing their exit scam and Lockbit being taken down, they may be relegated to the Bush League and Akira promoted. Got to have someone at the top of the mountain. 100,000 people infected or data compromised. Employees, passports, driver's license. Don't worry though, former employees of Nissan. Nissan takes your security and privacy seriously. Here's 2 years of identity theft. Thank you. Be sure to check out our 2025 models of Nissan Xterras. So this is a straight up normal ransomware story. Like I hate that it's become so normalized, but that's the deal. Threat actor got in, threat actor exfilled data. Company says they're investigating. Threat actor publicly releases the data. Company issues a statement on their website, sends out identity theft protection. Maybe they pay the ransom. Maybe they don't. Threat actor group makes some money either selling it. Oh, here's your free identity theft course. Whatever. It's just like, it's nauseating.
Abilities could lead to account takeover. According to researchers at Salt Security, at least three types of ChatGPT plugins can lead to data exposure and account takeovers. ChatGPT plugins are extensions that tailor the technology with additional features such as search capabilities, text analysis tools, and interaction with services including GitHub, Google Drive, and Salesforce. These connections, along with the agreement that users click on to install the plugins, are naturally the key entry point for the vulnerabilities.
Hold on one second. So a couple of things. One, I've seen Marcus G said Lockpick is back active. Interesting. We'll have to look into that. We saw a story yesterday about Lockbit, but a little bit of research indicated that it was late January when that victim organization got hit, which was like 7 days prior to law enforcement cracking down. And if you got law enforcement on your bingo card, here you go. So if Lockbit's back up, Marcus, that would be wildly interesting. We'll have to investigate that. Maybe a jawjacking. Where's my Chief Wiggum? All right. So researchers found multiple flaws in ChatGPT plugins. There's a huge ecosystem of ChatGPT plugins. And you could see here, plugins are powered by third-party apps that are not controlled by OpenAI. Guys, 100% threat actors are going to do this, right? Several types of vulnerabilities that could lead to data exposure and account takeover. So they haven't even said malware yet. Okay, hold on one second. What is this? Why are we here? I'm going to actually take a hot take here. Give me a hot take. Hot take. Give me my where's my tinfoil hat and my spicy emote? All right, hot take coming in hot. So here's the deal. First of all, I've got 2 points. One, ChatGPT plugins are all the rage. There's like a plugin store. People love it. I use it myself for Canva and Midjourney. Like in a couple other ones. Like they're good. It's cool. Hey, extend the crap out of it. But you should be aware that it's very easy to get these plugins activated, especially if you pay for it. And people like Carl in accounting. They are going to do this. So you can't stop your business stakeholders from doing ChatGPT things, okay? So all you can do, and I would strongly recommend this, is give them guidance, right? You can't keep your teenager from drinking beers, but you can, or smoke it, well, back in the 80s, smoking butts or whatever. But you should educate them. Like, hey, listen, like, I know you may or may not be drinking beers, or I know you may or may not be installing ChatGPT plugins. I learned it from you, Dad. Just because I install Midjourney plugins doesn't mean you need to. Anyways, I digress. That was like an 80s drug ad PSA for those who are paying attention. So educate them on the risks of it and be mindful that anything they stick into these tools could go public, and by installing third-party software outside of ChatGPT, you're exposing your endpoint or your computer and everything you type into it to risk. So you just want your end users to take a beat before clicking on install all the things like WordPress plugins, like ding, 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 right? Second of all, and here comes my hot take, okay? If I was a threat actor, okay, Threat Actor Academy, right? Let me put on my professor hat for Threat Actor Academy, which by the way, it's not fair that I'm playing bingo, but I definitely have Threat Actor Academy on my card. If I was a threat actor, I would absolutely develop a sick plugin, and I would have the third-party installation be my malware, and I would have everyone run my plugin and download my malware. ChatGPT is so
Hansel's so hot right now.
Hundreds of thousands, millions of people are clicking on all the things. Hey, here's a super sick plugin that will guarantee get you a job. Here's a super sick plugin to take your crypto gains to the next level, right? Let's do crypto stealers again, since crypto's back in vogue again.
I'm a crypto evangelist. I love it, love it, love it.
Right? So, dude, this is what I would do. I guarantee you, I will bet money that matters in the next 6 weeks, there's something about a ChatGPT plugin pushing malware. Right? Because who's vetting the store, right? OpenAI is, but they have a perverse incentive, right?
Straight cash, homie.
They have a perverse incentive. Okay, obviously, people with the bingo cards want the...
Shall we play a game?
OpenAI has a perverse incentive to get all the plugins because they want more people to put more money into the platform to get all these plugins. It is a rich ecosystem, and the value of the plugins is basically a direct correlation to how many they have, how many people are using them, et cetera, et cetera. So, like OpenAI, I don't know what their vetting process is for plugins, but threat actors are going to be able to weaponize it. And I guarantee you that's what's happened. Marcus Kyler with the bingo. Nice job, Marcus Kyler. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I guess this is our de facto bingo sound until further notice. All right. So Alpha Sierra's got a bingo as well. Let's pivot. We'll do some bingo lessons learned retrospective. I'll put on my Scrum Master hat and we'll do that again.
We've got a packed Friday of life.
Oh my God, bro. All right, everybody. I hope you've been enjoying the show. It's been much like Nissan. It's been kind of a hot mess express, but you know what? It's Friday. It's all about good times. It's casual Friday. Tim McDonald learned it from you, Dad. That's right. I want to say there was something in chat that I wanted to get to that the mods shared. I want to say what's up really quick. Celebrate a win. Billy Orellana has an interview with the AR SOC for an internship next week. Want to wish him luck. Good luck, Billy. You got that. All right, guys. Hey, if you were here just for the news, shout out and thanks to all of you. Thank you so much for being here. 383. Damn, guys, spring break paired with Friday, which is the start of the college weekend. So all our college students are all hungover right now. We come correct. We had a great week. We had a great show. Super pumped. We are going to be pivoting over to jawjacking in a hot minute. So stay tuned for that. I do want to say thank you to all of you who did participate in the bingo pilot. I think it's fun. I think we're going to keep doing it for sure. Shout out to all the mods. Shout out to Daniel Lowry bringing in the heat. Obviously, Dreams from Quicken at 35,000 feet. Itza's got a jump. Hey, before you go, if you were going to not stay, let's go ahead. Actually, I'll do it when we get there at the other side. Guys, I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. This has been Daily Cyber Threat Briefing, March 15th, 2024, episode number 579. If you can stay for jawjacking, we hope you can. But if not, I understand. Until next time, stay secure. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Jawjack, and I am your host, Jerry Guy, coming hot off the heels of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Briefing with that nerd, Dr. Gerald Osher. What we're going to expect for the next 30 minutes is just kicking it with the community, ask me anything style. If you got any questions about industry, I do have a lot of experience in the cybersecurity industry, and do try to help. And if I don't have the answer, we have 383 amazing cyber pros and aspiring cyber pros in here getting it done. So we will get your questions answered. Really quick, I want to talk about the bingo if we can for a minute. What was everyone's expectation or experiences? Let's drop a poll. Should we keep doing bingo? Bingo Fridays? You like? Let's get a poll going. Alana Boyajian, who wants the baton? Hey, oh, by the way, if you decided to stay for jawjacking, I would love to gift some memberships. Very inspired. Wait, that's a chat milestone. How do I give gifts? Oh my, I guess I just have to, all right. 13 lucky number. Thanks to all of you amazing people. Bingo, all right. James McQuiggan with a super chat.
Just become best friends. Yep.
All right, see if I can gift some subs here. Membership gift. All right, you have 5 memberships to gift. I'm going to give 5 out right now to the 5 members. Get your Oprah emote on. Love the community. Love helping. And love giving out 5 gifted memberships. Martin, Stone Arrow, Timothy Bradley, Tech Watoya, and Tony Wilson. Congratulations. Welcome to the party, pal. All right. I can't do bingo every day. I think that would just be overwhelming. But the bingo was fun. We had a little bit of a...
bingo.
We had a little bit of a rough launch to the bingo, but I think it's all good. What's the horn on my bingo card? Oh, let's look at the bingo card. So we're still working through some of it. So everybody's bingo card looks different. I'm not 100% sure what the horn is. So we'll have to look at that. Maybe I can look in the back end. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, I'll have to look at it. I don't know what the horn is. Maybe the horn's this. Right? The horn might be Glum Hippo, still a teapot. I love it. HTTP status codes. Thank you, Glum Hippo.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
We will be trying to put more graphics on the bingo card so it's obvious. I think the horn is the Viking horn. I also want to point out, too, check this out if I can show you. Wait, hold on 1 second. We have two bingo cards, so we're going to be mixing it up. Simply Cyber Bingo, and guys, I love all of you and the community. We feature the community member every Monday, so we're going to be mixing this up. We will also have community members, and just so everyone knows, there is, you know, many of you, way more than one bingo card can fill. So you see how there'll be people, like, so Jack Scott might show up on my bingo card, but not yours. Chris Whitlock might show up on your bingo card and not mine. Right. But they're going to be all in here and we'll just, you know, if you see the person's name in chat, you knock it off. And we'll do that occasionally as well. So it's all about good times. It's all about fun. And, obviously we'll spell ransomware correctly as well. So this is a work in progress, but we're definitely going to keep doing it. Looks like, only 8% do not want to do bingo on Friday. So overwhelmingly, the community is all in on the bingo. So for those who do not like it, understood. Okay, so Alana Boyajian thinks the Simply Cyber marker could be darker. Okay, we can do that. We can definitely do that. Taking feedback on that. What else we got here? Bing. Okay, yeah, no, perfect, Alana. I agree 100%. Yeah, maybe we'll do it. We'll do it first Friday of the month, kind of a way to kick off the new month, instead of doing it every Friday to not overwhelm everyone. It is a little distracting. And like I missed a couple things, so maybe we'll do it twice a month. I don't know. We'll see, guys. We'll see. But we're definitely gonna do it more. All right, so what's the alert thing? The alert thing's probably this. The Metal Gear Solid sound. We will here's the thing. I want the bingo to be inclusive. I don't want it to be, you know, inside joke exclusive type stuff. It should be things that are, you know, either easy for first timers, right? We got some first timers in chat. We want to make sure that we do that. Emmanuel thinks First Fridays are good too. I like that. Yeah, I probably do need a bingo mod. I thought I was going to be able to do it and produce. I thought I was going to be able to host, produce, moderate, and a couple other things, and it was a bit overwhelming. So, oh, Chris Young says that the bingo actually made him stay more focused on the stories. That's good. Yeah, Ross is saying it's tough on mobile. I hear you, Ross. Maybe we'll do it first Friday of the month and really like promote the crap out of it all week. That way, people who want to play can do it on, you know, they'll know that they can't, you know, mobile might be more difficult. Another thing that we're going to be trying to do as a community, if you guys want, I'm going to try to do it today, but on Wednesday, Black Hills Information Security hosted a Discord event. And it was basically an AMA on Discord. I attended and then got brought up on stage and I spent a few minutes doing AMA stuff, kind of like jawjacking. But it was a lot of fun. It was different because it was on Discord. It was a little bit more intimate. And obviously Discord Jiffies were flying around. And it was fun. So I actually wanted to try to do an event AMA. So I may do that as a like renegade stream. Or not, it won't be on YouTube later today. Also, just a programming note for everyone's knowledge. If you didn't know, I suck at Instagram and TikTok and shorts, okay? I'm terrible at it. But about once a year, it's kind of funny because it was March 23 last time I did this. About once a year, I get geeked up and I'm like, I make a run at it, okay? And, that engine started yesterday. So if you notice on my YouTube channel, my LinkedIn feeds, I'm starting new shorts. You will see more content from Simply Cyber around shorts. So look for that. ZMF, later today, I'm saying later today, I may be doing a Discord event. So you have to be on the Simply Cyber Discord server and you will see a live event with like people in it. And I'm trying to get, honestly, I'm asking Casually Joseph and Justin Gold to help me with the event because I don't get, I barely understand Discord. So I need help with it. But if we get it up and running, we'll pilot it later today as well. Also want to let everyone know, just a reminder, those shorts, I will be posting on Simply Cyber's official page, like this thing right here, not the Gerald Osher page. I've recently discovered that LinkedIn has been not happy with me with the amount of content I post on my personal LinkedIn page. So I'm going to be posting more content on the Simply Cyber page and maybe once a day dropping like a big thing on my LinkedIn page. So LinkedIn doesn't suppress me. Okay. So just so you guys know, if you're interested, go to the Simply Cyber company page on LinkedIn. Dr. Osher, the GRC of 1,000 roles, Joseph Campbell. Thank you. I appreciate that. Super chat, also, thank you.
Just become best friends. Yep.
All right. Cyber newbie. Yeah, no, so cyber newbie, I would not be running a Zoom into Discord the way Black Hills does. It would be exclusively a Discord event. Yes, ZMF, I will send a notification. Here's the thing. If maybe I'll use the announcement and do add everyone and say we're doing it, but there's a role on the Discord server called SC Notify that I intended to be the role that if you wanted to be notified of Simply Cyber stuff, that way I wasn't spamming people with the add everyone on the server. I know a lot of people hate when you ping a server, add everyone. And so I try to be very conservative with using the at everyone on the server. So the SC notify I will definitely use. But today I might use the at everyone. Check your Instagram. Check your Instagram? Okay. So here's the thing on Instagram. Like, literally, I don't know how to use a stupid app. Like, here's my Instagram. What am I doing? Tech unicorn? Like, hold on. I don't even know how to talk to people. Oh, Jesse. Jesse Johnson. All right, I'll follow you. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to talk to people. Jamie Fleck in the house connecting with me. Thank you. So, I don't know. If someone knows how to use Instagram, holler at me. But I'm basically pushing these things to Instagram as well. I don't know how to. I suck at certain things. Like, is this a chat client? My inbox? How do I use? I don't know. Whatever. I'm not gonna annoy you guys with my boomer, you know, stumbling around Instagram. Random story, my printer almost joined the Yeet Club yesterday. I don't have much patience for error message when I need to print my important documents. I'm right there with you, Thomas Marquette, especially if it's an HP printer. I'll open the window for you. Oscar Navas says, I joined the section of your stream a bit late and heard you were talking about the bingo. How do we play? Are you using inside jokes that a newbie can get? So Oscar Navas, yes. The bingo, there was a pinned comment for the bingo. You can see right there. We're going to end up doing it, I think, first Fridays of the month. So the next one would be in April. And essentially, there'll be a card that you get. And it should be fairly clear. Like, you know, basically, Barricade Cyber Solutions, Flipper Zero. Like, something you may not know, like... Oscar Navas and other newcomers. So like right here, the AI look, if there's a graphic, maybe it'll be directly related to seeing it in chat like that. So like Charles Finfrock in chat, maybe we'll do it that way. I would almost ask people, like, when we are doing the bingo, if you feel that it's inside jokey, let us know. And I want to adjust it and make it. For me, guys, inclusion is like a core value of Simply Cyber. So I'm not interested. The bingo's fun, but I'm not interested in newcomers being like, oh, this must be for the regulars. And I'm going to leave because I don't feel like I'm part of this. That's not what we're doing here. I would rather abandon bingo than have someone feel that way. Chuck in the house says, I'd love to see a mod episode for a Thursday fireside chat. All mods who can attend and speaking about things they love in our community, where they'd like to see it grow and develop into. All right. Well, if the mods want that, here, let me, guys, can I just tell you really quickly, Chuck in chat. I'm not going to dox his last name. Chuck in chat. Chuck has been a Simply Cyber community member for a long time. He's got the blue badge, right? Chuck brings like the best ideas. Chuck's ideas are killer. He's always dropping killer ideas. I love it. So let me do this, guys. Mod, let me do, oh my God. Do you want a mod chat fireside event? Okay. Let the community speak. You guys vote if you want a mod chat, cyber fireside. Jerry's laptop almost joined the Yeet crew every time he plays Magic the Gathering. Space Tacos, FYI, the red, orange on blue background is kind of murder on the eyes. I know those are the colors, but it did hurt a bit. Yeah, that's fine. Space Tacos, we can definitely adjust the color. I prefer dark mode, personally. This was just a a beta test to make sure it works. So we will get that sorted out, I promise. I think, do the mods want a mod show, really? Jenny Housley. Yes, Chuck is the creator of the Simply Cyber Community Challenge, 100%. Chuck is that. Chuck's heavily involved with the weekly on Monday newsletter. Also, Chuck's just a great person. Guys, if you ever get a chance to meet Chuck in person, he might be part. Chuck, you can self-identify if you want. He may be a member of one of the Simply Cyber local meetup channels. So Hillslide says, what is the Fireside event? So Hillslide, every single Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, I have a long form 1 hour live stream podcast called Simply Cyber Live. It's different. It's like a Joe Rogan experience. Like, it's not the Daily Threat Briefing or AMA. Last night I had on Henry Danielson from Space Grand Challenge. We talked about that, CTFs, etc. It was fun. What we're saying here is a fireside chat is basically no agenda. And the mod team, there's about 9 mods in the Simply Cyber community who keep me on track and keep me from touching my mixing board and help me set up Discord events. And the idea is that they would come on and basically talk about their experiences, hopefully not dunk on me, but talk about their stuff. That's what we're talking about here. Marcus G with a super chat.
Did we just become best friends? Yep.
Check out Lockbit. Servers are back online. Their leak site was up about a week after the raid. Probably be in the news again by summertime. Ugh, gross, man. Thank you, Marcus G. Appreciate that. That's right. You know what Chuck is also responsible for? Chuck is responsible. If you guys are longtime Simply Cyber community members, you may remember we had the hashtag passive observer to help those people who are a little shy from saying hello and beginning their networking experience. That was Chuck's observation too. Let's see. Rhonda Rummerfeld. I think actually Rhonda, did you just accidentally paste a password in chat? If you did, may want to change that. Alana's out of here. Have a great weekend. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, Alana Boyajian. Thank you, Alana. Have a great weekend. All right. So Chuck does. All right. Here we go. Kimberly Can Fix It, suggesting that we should do maybe a monthly live for members of the community who are doing great things or want to share their experiences with others. That would be awesome. Yeah, 100%. I would love that. In fact, one idea that I've been tinkering with is, we have other shows on the channel like Two Cyber Chicks, Cyber Starters, although that's going to spin off onto its own channel, a couple other things. This could be a fun show, like highlighting it. So here's the deal. Kimberly's idea. I don't know what you mean, deleted her comment, but, I see the password one. So here's the deal. If you guys would be interested in a live for community members to share what they're doing, we could totally do that. I might ask for a volunteer to host that podcast. I'm certainly open to facilitating it and providing the Simply Cyber platform for reach. But I don't know if I can, commit to another recurring podcast right now. It's pretty nuts. Mod chat, fireside event. People like the idea. So we will definitely put that on the board. I love the idea. This Jawjack and AMA is really all about community. Love it. I'm happy to answer anyone's questions for sure, though. You know what I mean? I'm jumping into the the password shenanigans. Chris Young says he'll host an event. Okay, very cool. Thank you, Chris Young. Got that going. Oh. So Kimberly's saying not as a separate show, but as a SC Live. Yeah, but Kimberly, if we're going to do it for members only, I don't want it to be simply Cyber Live because I want that to be accessible to everyone. Jamie Fleck in the house. Hey, Jamie Fleck, just quick side story. I was thumbing through my yearbook, my high school yearbook, saw a picture with you and Mr. DeCastro. So Austin Fraley says, what do I need to do to join Simply Cyber on LinkedIn? I think, Austin Fraley, all you have to do is go to like the Simply Cyber. See, the thing is, I'm like logged in as a mod, so I can't show you what the look is. But I just go look for at Simply Cyber. Here, I think if you go to my personal, hold on. If you go to my YouTube, my LinkedIn account, right, and you look at where I work, you could see like one of the top ones is this right here. And I think if you like click on this, like as a business, it'll take you to that profile page and you can just connect there or follow there or whatever. Also, since I have 250 invite connections, I'll just spam 250 people and, I'll spam 250 people and we'll go there. All right. Space Taco's got to get to work. 269 people here. Hey, really quickly, an update on Cyber 101. If anyone's interested in an update on Cyber 101. So some of you who are, I know there's not a ton of you right now, but if you're a student in the Cyber 101 course and you've been having some challenges with accessing the labs, I want to give you a very transparent update. There's two things going on. One, I am actively trying to, TryHack Me thinks that it may be because of the load I'm putting on TryHack Me with my labs, that students would need premium accounts. Now, I'm already charging $500 for access to the course. So I don't think it's fair to require the student to also purchase a premium. So I am working with TryHack Me to purchase TryHack Me premium licenses, which they're charging me full price, which is annoying to me because I'm buying them in bulk, but that's besides the point. Anyways, so I'm buying a bulk of licenses and I'm going to be handing them out to enrolled students right now so they can access the platform in the labs and get through them without issue. Also, I'm in conversation right now with another company to completely migrate the entire lab infrastructure to this platform. And then it would be dedicated resources. I'd have direct access to the engineers. The onboarding and experience would be much different. And but it's migrating an entire lab infrastructure to a new platform is not trivial. It's actually an ass load of work. And unfortunately, really unfortunately, I'm going to have to record new videos for all the labs because it's going to be in a new environment. Which totally sucks because I thought Cyber 101, I thought I was done, but it pulls me back in. But anyways, I'm committed to making that course a wonderful experience for students, and I just can't have issues with the labs. It's unacceptable, and the price for 6 months of premium access for every single student is not. It's expensive, you know, so I'm like cutting a check for a couple $1,000s. So I'm working on it. I'm looking into it. Please let you know that I am not paying you lip service. I'm actively working it. Okay. That's an update for Cyber 101 students. Jose Alfredo, saving up for Cyber 101. Thank you, Jose. I appreciate it.
Did we just become best friends?
All right. John Brock, the community challenge has been incredible. It's 100% worth doing. I've added 70 connections in the past 2 days. Still streaming. And thanks, John Brock. And let me know, John, I know you're already in the industry, if your LinkedIn feed is improved as well. That's really the two things that I think are, yeah. One second. All right, Space Tacos. Jerry, you once mentioned a project that treated the student like an intern doing a risk assessment. Is this going to be a separate course? Just want to make sure I'm remembering. Yeah, so Space Tacos is asking, it will be a separate course. It will be an unbelievable banger. It's going to be called Enterprise Risk Assessment Apprenticeship, and I'm going to be filming it in the late summer, early fall. I have a company on board that's going to allow me to do an enterprise risk assessment, and it's going to be like a simulation learning experience where I have to find a cinematographer. I'm going to have to pay some cinematographer to follow me around, and we're basically going to be talking to the camera as if it's the student. I've just hired you into my company. And if you don't know, I do have a consulting company that does do work. It's called Coastal Information Security Group. You'll be hired into the company, you know, in a simulation, right? And I will show you the whole thing from pre-sales to contract to engagement to executing logistics and planning coordination, emails, phone calls, on-site interviews, data collection, data analysis, reporting, and project closeout. There'll be lectures, and then there'll be like, which is like the theory, and then there will be like the actual videos of me executing. It's going to be an unbelievable, course. I like, honestly, I don't typically talk myself up or talk my stuff up, but like, I am super amped about how that course is going to turn out. I have a vision for it. I think it's going to be super dope. Nerman says, thanks for the Cyber 101 update. You're welcome. Actually, Nerman, I'm glad you're here in chat. Like, I've actually asked before I spend the level of money that TriHackMe is wanting me to spend, I actually asked them for one premium account. And I wanted to give it to you, Nerman, because you've been like kind of beta testing it for me. Thank you. I wanted to give you the premium membership, Nerman, and just have you validate that you can access the phishing lab, the audit lab, basically all the labs. And because once you say, yes, I can do it, Jerry, then I'm going to pull the trigger on procuring all those licenses and then start. And then I have to hand them out to all the students and explain how to use it. So I just want to get it right. Space Talk is always down for a banger. Yep. Maybe able to weasel my way into the risk management area at my current job. I got to tell you, another fun thing. I don't know if she's still in chat. I don't know. Hold on. Let me check if she's still in chat talking about the community. Rhonda Rummerfield, still in chat right now. She has actually agreed, because she is local, she's agreed to come with me on these risk assessment course and sit behind the camera. And then whatever's confusing to her or whatever wasn't clear to her, she's going to ask me questions. And we will have that as part of the course. Because essentially, Rhonda's going to be kind of an ideal avatar of what a student might have, and things that I think are commonplace or obvious, maybe they're not. So as added value to try to really serve the student, Rhonda's going to be there, and we'll do a Q&A with her after each segment as well, which I think is super cool. Yeah, Gary, sorry, buddy. So whoever's on LinkedIn, it came across as anonymous, but I'm glad you love the idea. Thank you for the incredible courses and content. You're absolutely welcome. Guys, I I've been asked recently, what's the vision? What's the vision for Simply Cyber? What's the vision for my business? What are we doing here? Where are you in 5 years, 10 years?
And I've really been thinking about it, and it's beginning to crystallize. And I'll share it with you right now just to kind of get some feedback, right? So for me, what I've decided, and I'm really, this is my mission, okay? Like, yes, I will continue doing Simply Cyber. I'll continue doing the daily briefings. I'll continue doing all the things, community engagement, helping anyone and everyone that wants the help. But as far as the school goes, Simply Cyber Academy, my vision for that is I want it to be, when you think of, I want to be a GRC professional, or someone says, hey, how do I get into GRC? I want Simply Cyber Academy to be the answer. The courses that will be in Simply Cyber Academy will be exclusively for people who are interested in that GRC track. Whether you want to become a CISO, a vulnerability management analyst, a GRC analyst, a risk analyst, a compliance analyst, whatever it is, I'm not going to have pen testing courses in there. I'm not going to have SOC analyst courses in there. Nothing. It's all GRC. I want to make GRC cool. GRC is what I know, so I can help the most there. So all the content in Simply Cyber Academy will be focused and driven towards helping anyone reach whatever GRC goal they want, whether it's becoming sick at information security awareness, whether it's becoming a CISO, whether it's breaking in. So that's the goal. So all content will be that focus. So I guess when I say, what's the 5-year plan, what's the strategy? In 5 years, I want to have the entire career path for every branch, fork, and level of promotion that you could possibly do in the GRC space. So that's what's up. What's up, Roderick Johnson? Good to see you. Yeah, exactly, Steph Cluess. There really is nothing for GRC, which is actually why I made the GRC Analyst Masterclass in the first place. Glum Hippo, we can do it together. We can make GRC cool. Oh, I've got another update. So this jawjacking is basically just turning into like a informal town hall. But I have a meeting on Wednesday next week with Black Hills Information Security to pursue making that shirt. If you guys don't remember, I'll share this and then I gotta go. I gotta prep for that company I'm talking with about migrating the entire lab platform. Let me see. Speaking of making GRC cool, I don't know if you guys remember, but like basically, one second. Hold on one second. I'm trying to do this. So if you don't remember, I came up with some GRC shirt ideas for Black. Like I'm wearing a Black Hills shirt right now. They have cool shirts. And I was like, hey, let's do a GRC shirt. Since you don't have anything like that in your world. I like this one the best. But I have a call on Wednesday next week with Black Hills Information Security to basically get a GRC shirt into their merch store, right? So you'll be able to see, and this isn't to make money, right? This is basically just to promote and have fun with GRC. They've got all these cool shirts. How cool would it be to have a GRC one represent? Whoop, whoop. It would be, spoiler alert, it would be awesome. So stay tuned for that. I hope that we can get it in place. Sooner than later. A flaming donkey shirt? Yeah, that'd be good. You're welcome, Ross. Blue badge. I will tell you, using TCM Academy as an inspiration, maybe one day having a GRC certification that is practical and means an A load would be really, really cool. But my thoughts are very fuzzy on how that would work and what that would look like. So I can't promise that yet. But I do believe that I could make a GRC cert that means something to professionals who have it and expectations that employers would have with it. Cool. I'm glad you like the shirt, folks on LinkedIn. All right, guys, we're at time. I want to thank all of you for being here today, the 230 of you hardcore Simply Cyber community members. Remember, Wild West Hackenfest CFP has opened. So if you want to speak at Wild West Hackenfest, I know it's very difficult to get to, but it's a super awesome conference. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. We got a... Glum Hippo says, how do you feel about the ISC2 CGRC cert? I haven't heard one thing one way or the other about it. I mean, ISC Squared is a good organization as far as like the resources they put in. But I don't know. Maybe a cash grab. Like any other cert, I would say go look at JobRec asking for it and see what the market thinks of it. Really, that's the end of the day. What does the market think of it? I don't have an opinion one way or the other because I haven't really looked at it too much. Oh, also, God, there's so many updates. Also, starting very soon, jawjacking episodes are going to be carved off and posted on Simply Cyber Cafe YouTube channel as new pieces of content. So look for that. Kathy Chambers and Kimberly Can Fix It are currently helping work on some workflow that gets that, in a flywheel. So stay tuned for that. All right, guys. Dude, much love, much appreciated. I'm going to go work on this lab thing. If there is a Discord event later today, it's going to be Renegade style. So keep your eyes out. I will ping on Discord and let you know. We'll see how it's going. Thanks to James McQuiggan for the jokes of the day. Thanks to all the super chats. Thanks to all the squad memberships. Thanks to every one of you for showing up and helping each other be supportive, be inclusive. Whatever your weekend plans are, I hope you have fun. I hope you say hello and I love you to those who are important to you, because you never know, crap happens. Be good, everybody. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. Until next time, stay secure. If you enjoyed that content, keep the cybersecurity train going by connecting with the other Simply Cyber community resources. We have the Discord server that's lively and always keeps the conversation going. You can connect with me directly on LinkedIn. And also every single weekday morning on the Simply Cyber channel, we're doing live daily cyber threat briefings, 8 a.m. Eastern time, as well as Thursday at 4:30 p.m. We're doing live stream interviews with industry experts, and we produce videos that we push out every Wednesday morning. I'm Jerry from Simply Cyber. I hope you enjoyed the content, and we'll see you in the next one.